finally have a sponsor. How about that?
Oh, it's awesome. And a cool one, too. It's Huckberry.
You got to love Huckberry.
Huckberry's got some crazy cool stuff, right?
Man, it's an online shop, Joe. And they've got all kinds of stuff. And, you know, it's all for guys. You know, you can get the first portable beer keg, the 150-million-year-old dinosaur bone knives. They got the ice cubes.
Oh, the oh yes.
Never melt.
The ice cubes that actually was online and bought them for my dad. If you're a whiskey drinker or no whiskey drinker, there are these ice cubes that you freeze and they never melt.
You gotta love that.
And so they never dilute your good liquor. And Father's Day's coming around. I think everyone should go on there for Father's Day, to Huckberry.com. There's all kinds of crazy good stuff. And if you use the promo code Puck Off, that's Puck Off with the exclamation point, you get $5 off.
That's right, man. You can't beat that. It's Huckberry's brand new site, www.huckberry.com. Just put in the offer code Puck Off with an exclamation point at the end. Sign up and receive $5 off credit from the store. So check it out. It's Huckberry. It's our new sponsor, Joe.
Yes, please support it. They got really cool stuff. I mean, would me and Frey send you somewhere that isn't cool?
Puck Off, the playoff edition. The overtime. We're
finals edition.
Yeah, it's finals.
The finals. Frazier, yeah. Love it.
It's awesome.
Love it, love it. Packed show. We brought in the...
Two of the best.
Two of the best right here.
Two of our buddies. We love it. Well, let's go. Yeah. Let's go with Jason Love.
Jason Love. Hey, guys. Thank you. First appearance, and we love having him. Welcome back. Now we have to welcome back my great friend, sporting a brand new LA King hat, the great... Court McCowan, who we all want to stab in the back because he scored press passes. He sends emails now with the official emails of the NHL.
He gets into everything.
Yeah, I mean, I told you, there's like a 0.7 degrees of Court McCowan.
He knows everyone, and he gets into everything.
You got to have friends in the right places, man. Yeah, I mean, it's like – and it's one of those things where I got to thank Steve Simone who did it because he does all these USO shows. So Dennis from the Armed Forces Radio Network hooked up Ren Azizi and Ari too. So Ren Azizi's got a press pass in New York at the Garden.
What?
Yeah, so Ren Azizi's there right now.
Oh.
And I told him, by the way, I said, if you're going to go to the Garden, if you're going to this game, and I said, and if you don't, because the weird thing is we got passes, okay, which is really cool, but we got them for home games only. So I've got 1, 2, 5, and 7, and then Ren Azizi's got 3, 4, and 6. Now Ari went to China, so Ari can't use his pass. Simone's in Philadelphia, so he can't use his pass. So I'm by myself walking around pilfering through the King's locker room.
And you're not going to need 5 or 7, so.
No, I hope it makes it to 5.
I like
hope
the way you're thinking.
I hope it makes it to 5 because I just would like to be there. I'd like to caress the cup. I would.
Yeah, I can see 5.
I've touched the cup before. I touched the cup in Vegas.
You did?
Yeah, I touched the cup in Vegas.
Wow!
But that's right. We let you off the hook because you only knew about hockey later. You're from Oklahoma.
I'm from Oklahoma.
Yeah. He learned fast about hockey.
No, he loves hockey. No, but I just mean like as a kid, like I would because I never played. I wouldn't touch the cup out of respect to the guys that
really
earned it.
Yeah, I've had my pictures taken with it. I've had pictures taken with players in it, but touch it. It's like that's
why was the cup in Vegas?
The cup was in Vegas because they had the NHL awards there.
Oh,
so the NHL awards used to be at the Palms,
that's right? Yeah,
and I used to do a show at the Palms, and I'd been there so long, it's like it was like family. So one of the guys that was guarding the cup, he was like, you know, there's like this like whatever you call it around it, you know, the big stanchions around it. And I go, I want to read this stuff. I want to read the cup. I want to go because it's so small. You can't read it from very far back. So he goes, it was like 1 a.m. He goes, yeah, come on in, read this stuff. So I was reading
it. Cool.
When I say I touched the cup, I didn't caress the cup. I was looking at it and I might have, you know, touched.
Yeah, fondled.
But I
accidentally brushed up against it. Yeah. Yeah. That happens.
But I heard if you try to hoist it, they will shoot you in the kidneys. I heard that's the deal. You can't hoist it unless you
is
want.
That right? Really?
Yeah, unless you
want. Unless
you want. Okay, you can't.
Yeah. I mean, that guy wears the gloves. I like.
Well, I've heard that even like there's guys, because everybody gets the cup for a day. You know, all the guys, they get the cup and they take it and do whatever they do, you know, wherever they go.
That is
with
so
it.
Cool.
And, but you're never, no one is ever allowed, unless you're a player who's won the cup, is allowed to hoist the cup like they do skating around. That's just, that's the rule. See, that's Joe, the one
you
rule.
You can't
hoist
it. Touch it, huh? Or you can't hoist it.
Can't hoist it. No, you hoist can it. Touch it, but you can't no. hoist it.
Yeah. Hmm. But I'll tell you what, it is, the Hall of Fame. Oh, in Pittsburgh, I saw it a couple times with players. But at the Hall of Fame, I was really trying to read. I don't have good enough eyesight to read. I mean,
that's why I had
I'm
to get
like
up
trying
there.
To find like Ron Francis and Lemieux, and it was like, oh, I.
Yeah, but I mean, to get up there, and it's like Montreal, Montreal, yeah, Montreal, yeah. Montreal.
How does that work? Does it just keep getting taller and taller
yeah.
forever?
Yeah,
well, they actually took off, I would say, from like the 20s to the 40s now. There's like probably two decades, maybe three decades. One of our great fans, listeners, could email us on either the Facebook page or on Twitter. Can let us know.
Names
exactly.
are falling off?
Well, no, because it's so big. They just take – a ring is a decade.
Yeah.
And that, those rings are in the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Because you just can't
– But it had some of my favorite players in the 20s, like Howie Morantz. Like,
nobody can hoist it. The cup's like 15 feet tall.
Right, yeah. It'd be a way to – Well, speaking of it, I mean, we all picked the Kings. We're all Kings fans. Tonight we're taping this Monday. Is there a series or is this a?
Well, I thought New York played great in those first two games. I was surprised. I hadn't really thought that the East was going to give the West anything, and I thought New York looked great in those two games.
Well, you got to say, I mean, like we were talking about just a little bit earlier, I thought the Kings' legs were so heavy in the first, especially in the first period of the first game.
Right.
That, I mean, the shorthander started out and then they come right back. It's, you could tell that they needed the fire lit a little bit. And it seems like every time all it takes is just get them down two goals. And that's all
and
it
they,
takes
they
to,
pop
to get
yeah.
them going.
Yeah.
They had those California chrome legs coming out.
But they look good, I thought, the Rangers.
The Rangers are a great team. You don't get to the Stanley Cup Finals because you suck. I mean, they beat Montreal, a phenomenal team. You know, I mean, Montreal's a great team. You know, I mean, they really were, and they took it to Montreal. They won.
They didn't have their goalie, right.
Yeah, Price wasn't there, but
I emancipated, or whatever the word is. Like, yeah, I said they had the easiest walk to a Stanley Cup I've ever seen. Taking nothing, and they've played great in game one and two, but I will say the Kings completely look like the better team. But that's what makes hockey the greatest sport on earth, is because the Kings are the better team, they're playing like the better team, and yet it's gone to overtime twice.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I mean,
the Rangers are skating. They're skating.
And they have hands.
And well, I think Jason said it best earlier. Is he goes, we haven't seen the Kings' best hockey yet.
I don't think
we've seen three periods of great Kings hockey. And I think, you know, going to the Garden now, you know, they're both tired now. Now, you know, the first two games, we were a little, you know, second game, you saw us come out in the second game with a little bit more vigor. Even though they went down two goals, there was a little bit more, they were stronger. The Kings looked really good in the first period. How they got two goals, I mean, it was just, you know, it was what it was.
One was a fluke. The other one was a great shot.
The other one was a great shot, but one was kind of, yeah. I mean, it was also, it's just one of those things where sometimes Quick just makes this move and you go, what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah.
You know, that miss, that behind, get out from behind the net.
Well, here's a guy who is, such a great player. I mean, he's an unbelievable player, but he does have some weird moments. He reminds me of Chris Paul for the Clippers. Mm. He'll be the best player on the court for the whole game, then he'll dribble the ball out of bounds for no reason.
Yeah.
Same thing with Quick.
Analogy.
I mean, Quick is just amazing, and then he'll do something goofy.
Well, I mean, he's definitely better than Marc-Andre Fleury. Even in Fleury's prime, I think Quick's prime is better. But it's still the same thing. They live off such that athleticism. That they think they can do anything.
Yeah.
And sometimes they get caught out of position. But I'll tell you, Quick in the end of game two was so on his angles that like three times I thought we lost.
Yeah.
No,
in the play.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
Just by a pubic hair. Did not go in. I mean, like, just
and Kreider
right
hit
by
the post.
Yeah, Kreider hit the
but
post.
That, but on that shot, hit his shoulder, and they never said it on air, but when they replayed it, I nicked off his shoulder.
You made that point. That's a good point, Jace. Yeah. It's true. He makes some moves that they don't always see.
Yeah.
He's always got
just a touch.
Just in there somehow.
Just a nick.
But I don't think they played their best hockey, but I'll tell you, that when they – coming back in the third period. I mean, you know, the Rangers are a nut shop liver, and they're playing for the cup. And the Kings have just – I mean, that third period in game one, they outshot them like 23-3.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you're talking about Lundqvist. I mean, you're talking about
– He's a great goalie.
Arguably the one of – I mean, if – you know, you've got Quick, Price, and then, you know, Lundqvist. Yeah. I mean, Lundqvist is
for sure
phenomenal.
Top of the line.
Phenomenal goalie.
Top of the line. Even bigger than that is – Quick is athletic and he'll make those crazy saves, and you think you can see light. Lundqvist, you can't see any. Yeah.
It's like this big red, white, and blue wall that just stands in front of the net. He's
always in position.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
it's those Swedes, man. It's like they've grown up, you know, their whole life. I was sitting up in the press box the other night, and the woman sitting behind me is the Swedish press woman, and she's from Sweden.
She's got to be hot.
No, about. Probably late 40s, little rode hard and hung out wet. Not an attractive one, but very nice, very nice.
Sure.
And she's like, there's no Swedes on the Kings, you know? And I was like, oh, so you're pulling for this? She goes, yes. And you got to think about it, man. I mean, those Swedes, they grow – That's what they grow up with. I mean, I know it's everywhere, but in Sweden, it's basically iced over 9 months of the year.
That's true.
So that's their, you know, their thing. And Lundqvist is a hero, you know, a hero to them. And this guy, I mean,
he's unbelievable.
He's the shit.
And he's a class act.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. Yeah, he's together.
It is funny that I don't hate anybody on the Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty good enough, except Nash. You always put Nash down.
Well, he's
kind of dopey, though, you know. It's hard to hate him. Well,
he can skate, though.
What I say about Nash is he plays like Lindros does after all the concussions. he's just floating around.
Yeah.
He flopped big time. That was a flop.
Play honorably.
Yes. Can we get to that? I want to make my point on that because, okay. Well, you know, you knew there, even in a regular season game in Buffalo in January, there's going to be a makeup call.
Right.
There's always going to be something close on a penalty. You never want to do anything stupid when you're on the power play.
Right.
You don't need a makeup call in a playoff game because the first penalty was not like an iffy call, like a hook that maybe where you want to even it out. It was a blatant high stick to a guy's face.
Right, right.
You don't need to make the makeup call. And it would have been a disgrace if the Kings lost on the ensuing power play.
Yeah, right.
Because it could have been a dive.
That's true. But there were some weird calls in general. There was a big controversy about the Dwight King thing.
Right.
Clearly shoved. You noted there was at no point, even in his fall, was he trying to hinder or trying to interfere with Lundqvist. He was trying to basically put his hands down for his fall. Outside of that. And I mean, he didn't really – I mean – He was basically shoved down onto Lundqvist, and the other thing too is Lundqvist was underneath him. It wasn't like he went back into Lundqvist. He went straight down,
and Lundqvist came out to the top.
Yeah,
of the paint.
Top of the crease. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and he went down. He didn't go down backwards. Mm-hmm. He went straight down. Lundqvist is out there, and it's like that's his own damn fault.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sorry, but it's
and
like
you can tell when it's intentional. You can tell when somebody's trying to make a run at somebody.
Yeah,
and when it's just they're falling and they can't do much about it.
That's what the makeup call was about, though. It was for the goalie. Non-call on that one.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I think it was a good no call on the goalie interference. I don't really think it truly – did it hinder him from making the save? It probably did. But his own guy knocked him into him. And King really didn't do anything – Even tried to avoid.
Yeah, exactly. Tried to avoid.
Yeah, tried to avoid it.
King tried to avoid it. And the way they've been calling it all series is they haven't called the goalie interference.
And here's the other question I have.
All playoffs.
And you got to keep it consistent.
They have to keep it consistent.
And here's the question I have too: is like you're calling this, but they're sitting there. They're calling Montreal. They're actually up in the booth. Yeah. I mean, they're up there. Everybody's reviewing this. This isn't one referee that's calling this and it's standing. It's being reviewed.
They go back to Toronto.
Toronto. What did I say? Montreal. Yeah. They go back to Toronto on this. This is a phone call. They're in HD reviewing this every which way they can.
They call Russell Peters, and he goes, yeah. "I think it was interference."
Technically, they're not supposed to judge if it's goalie interference, but they do.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying technically they're not supposed to.
It's not reviewable.
In Toronto, they're not supposed to be able to make that call, but they do.
Now, there's one other call at the end of the game where the puck got flipped over and they kept over the top of the glass.
Oh, yeah.
And they kept reviewing it to see if it hit the glass.
That was a penalty, I thought.
I think so, too. I think they missed that one.
Yeah.
You know, because it was they keep replaying it, and it just went over. It didn't hit.
We're just trying to get your fans back in New York.
Yeah, right. That's no, a lot of fans.
Well, we've always spoke well of the Rangers.
Yeah.
Jason, the only fans we fight are the Flyer fans. Okay.
you've got to admit, though,
it's some people in Minnesota think I've been critical of the Wild.
But you've got to admit, overall, this is the dream
we
series.
Try to make up for that.
This is the dream series for the Stanley Cup Final, if it's going to happen, because the West is so much stronger this year overall, I think. And, you know, to have it to be New York, L.A. is a great
it's
series.
Awesome.
It's a great series.
Awesome.
I mean, you know, Montreal,
ratings,
LA, I don't know.
Montreal, Chicago, no.
Ratings, you know what's interesting is Chicago was pulling huge numbers, but now they're sour because of the top 10 cities in the country for the ratings. It's New York number one, LA number two, then like Buffalo three, and then like Vegas is four.
Wow.
So it's probably all the people in LA, from LA and Vegas.
Well, you really can't watch the Wranglers.
Well, the Staples Center
Pittsburgh's
hit records
up there, in Pittsburgh, Boston, like the normal cities. Philly's always fair weather, but I'm surprised Chicago just didn't want to see who was the outcome.
Well, they had a little thing.
They knew it would be their cup, probably.
They had a little thing that came out. This bird that sent out that it was like at the Staples Center. They set records even above NBA finals and above everything else. They set a record of the most like merchandise, most everything.
Did they?
Everything. Fanatic. Ticket sales, standing tickets, everything at the Staples Center. Never in history have they sold that many per fan, you know, blah, blah, you know, set every record there was that's saying that, like, you want a good fan, it's an LA King fan.
Well, you know what? That was my joke. I go, you know, you can tell your team's getting hot when gang members start wearing your hat.
Yeah.
And that's not directed at you.
No. I showed my son.
That is a great hat, man. I love that hat.
Hey, this hat is – I got this – I think it was week one when we were down 2-0 to San Jose. And I got my Kings hat. I said, all right, we got to start.
I think that was a good luck hat.
I don't know about that. But
it looks good.
But it's
think about it, because all season I have blown the Sharks. And just think how they must be feeling right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Well, you and I went to a game earlier this year with San Jose, L.A. We went to L.A. San Jose game. I mean, you know, I love hockey. I do. I love it. You know, Bartney, you know, hanging out with Bartney makes it a little bit more technical because there's like he like those real stats at you.
You're going to hear everything.
You're going to hear everything.
Yeah. It's Rangers like, I know, I know.
And it's
thank
like,
God.
You know,
at least
but it's
I knew
great
what to say
to go
to
up.
Luke.
You grow up, you know, we were starting to go, we'd go to the little StubHub booth, you know, right next to Starbucks there, and we'd get the $35 tickets sit up in the center ice up in the top.
That's cool.
With Bird of the Bruins. And we got to go to some great games and going to the final, you know, now going and being in the finals and being there. It is. It's another energy.
Well, they say. They say there's four speeds. There's the preseason. There's the regular season. There's the playoffs, and then there's the finals. Yeah. And I'll tell you, that first period, the Rangers looked like they were on.
They
look
good. Yeah, they look good.
They did. The Rangers are a great team.
Yeah,
don't take
are.
That away.
From I'm not taking anything away from them. I'll tell you, they.
Kings
I mean,
are just better.
The Kings are better in every way except probably Lundqvist. Probably Lundqvist. And that's no knock.
And that's pretty tight.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
That's when you just look at like the Rangers fourth line, you know. They got some decent size. They got Dorsett and they got Moore. Dominic Moore, you know,
they're not mean.
He's a good draw man. But
yeah, that's it.
But we got Mike Richards as our fourth line.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I think we'd all agree on, though, guys, and it's exciting, is everywhere you go in town. This is such a Laker town for so many years. Everywhere you go in town this last week, everyone's into the Kings. Everywhere you go, the grocery store, man, church, everywhere. I was at my church yesterday. Everybody's like, Kings, dude.
GKG. Go, I was Kings, at, go.
Yeah. I went and talked to one of the ushers. I was like talking to the ushers, like I was down there and I was taking some photos. And one of the ushers, I go, do you ever have more fun than at Kings games? Because, you know, he does, this guy's Staples Center guy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
down,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Down the front.
They see it all, yeah.
Yeah, he goes, it's the most fun. He goes, the Kings fans, he goes, they're more fun. He goes, they're cooler. He goes, it's not a kind of an elite sport. He goes, everybody's like into it. He goes, everybody comes in, they're happy. You know, everybody pats each other on the back, and it's kind of fun. Although, I will say, on the smoking balcony, it gets a little ugly.
Does it?
I saw a fight on Friday night or Saturday.
You smokers.
Saturday, yeah. It's like, let me just be honest with you. Anytime you're on a smoking porch, if it's at an event center or at an airport, it is the dregs of society, and I'm one of them.
And, I'm glad to see you're getting the hardening interviews, though. You interview an usher.
I'm telling you. Well,
we're putting that to use.
Well, it means absolutely nothing for me to stick a iPhone in Jonathan Quick's mouth, you know, when he's got NBC and everybody there, and I'm trying to, like, get in there.
Court doesn't care.
No, the interview you need to get is what I'm going to say. Pia.
Oh, Pia.
Pia, the
by the
singer?
Way,
yeah, Pia.
By the way.
Oh, yeah, your favorite.
With her her LA Kings dress on the other day.
I'm surprised you haven't hooked that up yet, my friend.
Buddy, I'm telling you, if I could get anywhere near that section, I'm way up high.
We're always trying to figure out which player she's dating.
Yeah.
Like how she's got
Did
that
she win
for,
American Idol or...
Well, that's, she's that's she didn't she win. From. She didn't win American Idol, but she was up one of the top.
In, can she sing? Is she
she's
sing?
Phenomenal.
Is she of age? That's the question.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
That's why I felt bad when Slash did a great job, and I'm like, oh, I hope they're not getting the big time Pia, and like, you know, she's out for the. But then game
Slash
two
was a one off.
Yeah, game
Slash
two.
Was a one off, and then they had these four guys. They did some harmony the other night. It was
the
like
tenors, man, but they weren't the fat. I don't think you'd be tenors.
No, they were
got to be fat to be a tenor.
If I weigh more than you can't be a tenor.
But when the best part was is the minute Pia comes out, is announced. Bartnick texts me, Pia.
I know he loves her.
I love her, and she's so good and so hot. No wedding ring. I'm just thinking if I learn how to skate, maybe, and you know, if I can learn how to
Court
skate.
Court will try any angle, I'm telling you.
If I can learn how to skate.
How about
backwards?
The Zamboni? Maybe you could drive
I will
that.
Zamboni the so hell out of her.
She's dating the players for real?
No, we're just like. What,
she's got to be.
I mean, well,
she sings it every night, it seems like.
I mean, she's a hot chick, and she's a great singer, but you can throw a dead cat out of this window, and you're going to see a hot chick that can sing that would line up to.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but we love her. But a little more. The warning now is they're going to Robin Reguerre may join the lineup in game three, which I am against for many reasons. One, you never break up a winning lineup in the playoffs.
Nope.
Yep. And B, I don't think he's that good. I'd rather you say, oh, well, Green might sit. Green wears an A. Green won a cup with them. What did Reguerre ever win?
He's the character.
What did he win? Like a card game on a plane?
I mean, probably.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm always intrigued by guys that like come from absolute loser organizations, and then try to step in. It's like against Green, who played with the Kings when they sucked. That's why he's wearing an A.
Yeah.
Like if anyone deserves to be on that ice, you know,
and that's true.
Same guys that won't shave their beards out of superstition are going to change the lineup of a team that just keeps winning? What?
Yeah, that's weird.
That's why I was happy because I heard because Sutter's like, oh, I don't know, I make the lineups. You know, that's even more than he said. Whatever he said.
It's hard to tell what he said.
Maybe Corky can hand me the transcript.
I'm trying to find out what's going on if they've got the
he's stalking Pia.
No, I'm just looking at the interviews. I mean, I've got the different interviews, but, you know, I just can't find it. I don't see anything yet. He won't talk about Sutter won't talk about lineup injuries. He won't talk about strategy. He's been very, he goes like, why do I want to tip the other team off to what's going on?
He doesn't give you much.
What I love is
flights at 11. That's what he said after game 6 against Chicago. Yeah.
Greatest
flights
line.
At 11.
Really? Greatest.
Well, they asked Sutter, what did you say to their big interview, like, what did you say to your team after game 6? And he goes, flights at 11. You know, and I love that. And you go, you know what's interesting is I've never been in a locker room other than NFL. I've never been in an NHL locker room. Smells really bad, by the way. Yeah. Smells
nothing
bad.
Nothing worse than hockey equipment.
No, you very play, disgusting.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But what they do is it's a very small locker room, and they go out. All the guys are showering, and then they go, we've got so-and-so. And then they'll bring so-and-so out through the shower door into in front of his locker, and they'll sit him down, and they're swarmed. It's almost like you threw a dog shit and then just fly on top of it.
Right.
And they sit there, and to get in there, like I've tried to get in there, and I kind of like, you know, try to get in and adhere to the things, and you can't. It's so packed.
Yeah.
And they're in their face bad.
I know, as I said, you'll be getting like Trevor Lewis.
Yeah, I mean,
because if you go after people that no one, those are the guys.
No, but they don't even come out though. That's the thing.
Oh,
the problem
for
the
playoffs
is
different.
The playoffs, they don't even come and sit in the locker room because the locker room is so crowded with press.
Okay,
I have some photos. I'll share with you guys.
Yeah,
I have took some photos of just the locker. I like put my hands up and took photos of the locker room, and it's like there must be 200 plus press people in there.
Wow.
And there's, you know, and there's like three players, and they're just swarmed. You can see like just these little swarms of people. And
you need a boom mic.
Yeah, they have them. Those guys have them.
Do they? Yeah.
How great was it that Dusty, you know,
man, that was cool. Yeah,
Just, boom. Yeah. Big time.
I was glad to see that. Yeah. He's had a kind of up and down year for him. You know, as good as he is, he's had a little bit off of a weird year, kind of.
Sick playoffs.
But he played, that was a great goal.
Sick playoffs. Never, I mean,
yeah.
That line.
He's played a lot better in the playoffs.
That's the best. That's, you know, it owned Taves when it mattered. I mean, that's the best. Kopitar.
That 70s line.
Well, the that 70s line is awesome,
my
too.
My favorite.
But the Kopitar, Gabrick.
See, Gabrick to me.
Brownie line.
I love Gabrick.
Gabrick is like, to me, like he's that kind of X factor that we have this year that I don't think that has shown up this year. Because, like you say, Dusty's always like, this is not his best year ever, but he still plays solid. But,
yeah.
But to have a guy like Gabrick step up,
Gabrick's
and show
awesome.
Up, and like, and he's got a shot that, I mean, his, he fires the shit out of that.
He's
puck,
awesome.
Man. Yeah.
But remember when they picked him up, he didn't do much for the first couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah, he had a couple waved off being in the crease.
Well, right.
And I remember like, too. Wow, I never knew he was that gritty. Unless it's almost like the Flyer thing, you become a Flyer, you become an agitator.
Right.
Maybe you join the Kings, you realize everyone's bigger and everyone's going to the net and playing tough.
He play gritty.
Yeah, because I mean, it was like our first show after he got traded here. I'm like, how is he in the crease? Like,
he's
getting goals weighed off, and you find out he's really in there.
Yeah.
He's really in there fighting. But the thing was, we in court were always at the games when they're like, we're winning 1-0, 2-1. It's like the whole time we couldn't score for like 2 months.
Yeah, no one was scoring.
Bad, I know.
And everyone blamed him. And he didn't really get off the best start here. But now, wow, he's something else.
He's amazing. And I think you just go down the, you know, every single line has got that player, has got that person that's coming out. And, you know, our defense is Doughty.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
I mean, they're talking Conn Smythe. You know, there's been some talk of him and Carter, and I mean, you know, and that 70s line has obviously got Pierce and Carter. You know, you've got all these guys that are just
that finished. Kid can play.
Yeah,
I mean,
Peterson's good. Toffoli's good.
Toffoli's
like that's one of your favorites. Toffoli. Yeah,
I remember he was a kid. He was a
right
kid,
place, right time.
But Pearson, though, Pearson, I sort of got a couple games in the playoffs against Chicago, the big game, like Chicago. And he's like the guy when you're playing PlayStation, like he's always you.
Yeah.
He's in the forecheck. He's got like he's back checking, like I mean, they're so stacked.
They're a loaded team.
And I think and I think the 70s line is the one that really sets that forecheck, that really sets a forecheck up, because Carter's size, and I think these guys in Pearson's size, and
they're
these guys
so fast.
They
so
grind
fast,
it out, and then
they're so fast, but they'll dump it. They'll dump that puck in, and then they go in after it, and they make them pay if they get there ahead of time.
That's the thing, you know, and that's why you need four lines to win. That's why when Boston, you know, I mean, in Chicago, when they get the lines going, and the Penguins back, you know, when they had two different big lines. That's the thing. If you want, because the Kings, the Rangers got one really good set of defensemen, and then if Stahl and whoever, maybe he's a Strom or whatever, and that's really all they can really do. So you want to gear up, and you got to gear up to start the Kopitar line. If not, and then it's like, okay, so then Stahl, then it's like the 70s line's coming at you.
Yeah, they just keep coming at you.
They just keep coming at you.
I asked Luke, I said, well, you know, you've played all these OT games, you guys have got to be gassed. And he goes, well, they're gassed too. Yeah. They've been in the OT games, and he said the advantage we have is we're bigger
and deeper.
He said, "Yeah," and he said, "You know what? I like our chances because we got the bigger guys."
It's also cool when that 70s line steps on the ice. Now the crowd goes a little bit. The crowd just there's something about it like that.
It's energy.
It's this energy, and you know, and it was funny because game one, you know, it was really weird. Is like they put Will Ferrell on the screen
in New York,
on the screen at Staples Center. They put Will Ferrell up there, and he's like, "Go Kings, go!" And this wasn't one recorded. This was like him. They're like, "We need you. Come back here. Let us record this."
Did you hear they had him in Times Square too?
Oh, did they have him in Times Square?
Yeah, and all the New York fans were pissed.
But he was up there, and he started this chant of "Go Kings, go!" And it was 4-2. And he started this chant, and the crowd got into it for the first, to be honest with you, really the first time in that game, and the whole game. And they got into it, and they never let up. The game two, they kind of like sensed it, like they need us. They need us, and they started. The fans kind of started it by themselves. That 70s line went on the ice. They had a really good ice time on that one, and the crowd just kind of picked up, and they stayed up, and then they scored, and they tied. It was just it for some reason. It was like they finally go, "We need to help."
You know what? Kings fans are great. I've always had a blast down there. Classy people. They know their hockey, but I don't like the Rangers suck chant. I think it's classless. I think they're better. Sure. I think they're better than that.
Like third grade.
That's for the Flyers. That's
save that for the Flyers.
That's for Flyers. That's what the Flyers.
Well,
say. They're in the Stanley Cup Finals.
New York's playing classic.
Even if you want to go after the Ducks, that's your crosstown rival or whatever. That's fine. But in the Stanley Cup Finals on NBC,
that's where the fight almost started. Was they do this chant when they come in. They go, "Ranger fans," and then they do "suck," and they do that. And
they encourage that on the board.
Yeah,
where they're going? Boo! Yay!
Yeah.
Boo.
Well, the funny thing was like you saw this outside, and this guy. There were three Ranger fans, and everybody's getting along. Nobody's, you know. Then it's a couple of assholes that are sitting there that kind of, you know, start this thing, and one guy kind of got in another guy's face, and it kind of, you know, somebody pushed somebody's hat off, and then it was like, blah, you know, take that hat off. And it was like, you know, come on, man. Yeah, really? On. Like, where are we really going to go here? Yeah. I agree with you, Joe. You got to, you know,
Well, especially when the other team's classy. It seems like the Rangers are.
But there's nothing funnier than seeing a guy holding a baby, and on the back of the baby shirt, the T-shirt says, "Rangers suck." I'm sorry, but that
is kind of cool.
That's very cool.
Well, I mean, T-shirts, that's fine. Your signs, your T-shirts, I just think chanting it is like – I don't know. I just think you should be above that.
Well, if the other team's chippy and weird, you know, then
I just don't think they can chant Lundqvist, so they're doing Rangers suck. Because Crawford they could do. Like, Crawford.
Right, yeah.
But you can't do
Lundqvist even spelled weird.
Yeah, we can't even spell it.
Yeah, I don't think they can get Lundqvist.
You can get all those Indian or Bangladeshi kids that win a spelling bee. They couldn't do
Lundqvist. I don't think they could do Lundqvist.
Use it in a sentence.
Yeah.
Lundqvist sucks.
Henrik Lundqvist is very good goalie.
Well, he is pretty good.
Yeah, no,
you know.
But the other thing too is I love the fact that they still bring about, like, you know, being one of the original six or whatever, the Rangers, the way the jerseys that the Rangers is spelled. Yeah. It's never been changed.
It's old school. Looks good.
And they talked about like their first jersey was like a guy like Lady Liberty riding a horse. carrying is something. They're like, that didn't last. That lasted like 2 weeks. That lasted 2 weeks.
Yeah, that sounds weird.
And it's, you know, it's.
Well, you know, this series is not over.
There's one thing
I will say.
In my mind, we're up 2-0. It's over. Not over, but I'm saying, but it's like, I feel better.
Rangers are still playing pretty well, though, and they're going to MSG.
Stranger things have happened. I mean, I picked them in writing in five.
Yeah.
On this show, I picked them in six just to hedge my bets because I think it's either going to be 5 or 7. I don't think they're going to win a game 6 in Madison Square Garden.
I will say this.
I just think that.
I don't disagree with you there.
It's a tall order.
I think Zuccarello needs a longer stick.
I was scared to death on that move. I mean,
wow, he's slick.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that I got to say,
he can do
that,
a wraparound.
That is probably the one weakness that Quick has. Is that he's so well on one side, and then that move to the other side for the wraparound. He's been burned a few times.
He stopped that one, but I'm saying he's been close though.
I mean, Chicago, they threw two goals against his pad. You know,
if you're picking that though as like one of his weakness, like that, you're really. I wish that was Fleury's weakness.
Yeah. Well, Fleury's got some problems.
We're gonna get to that a little bit later. Get to that in a second. But Jason, so you're a new guest.
Thank
your
you
family
for
now.
Having me.
What is your
pleasure?
And you're a huge hockey fan.
Yeah.
So did you start? Are you born here and stuff? Or
I did. I played roller hockey, but I played it like three different teams every week.
No, so but you're from like the L.A. area.
Yeah, I live in Thousand Oaks.
Right. Same thing.
Greater L.A.
Now, when did you notice a pickup? Was it when Gretzky got here in the interest in hockey?
When Gretzky came to town, the roller rinks just spread all over the place. Not so much ice. We had a couple of options, but roller teams, I could play all day, every day. I had to work another job to pay for my hockey habit, man.
Oh, I love that.
But it started to really – L.A. fans started to really get into it when Wayne came down here.
For sure.
In the early 90s.
Yeah. I got to meet Wayne Gretzky at the Lake Sherwood Country Club.
He's out there. Yeah. He's cool, isn't he?
He is cool, man.
Yeah, nice
that
guy.
That was great really nice when guy. The great one dropped the puck on –
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
That was cool.
You got to include him, man.
Oh, yeah. They had to pay him off.
Of course you do.
They did.
Come on. His wife's made a lot of bets.
I mean, they did.
She needs that money, man. We had the Belmont going on. She had to put some money down.
They actually played that horse race in the Staples Center.
Did they?
Yeah.
Sure. That's great.
Yeah, I know. But it was like everybody knew already. It wasn't even like what happened was they ran the Belmont, is it Belmont, right?
That was the last
one. They ran the Belmont. I could care less about horse racing, but they had it on all the TVs live. And so we saw the thing, and then I went down and sat in the seat, and then about right before the they're putting the goals in, nets with the cameras, which I love that part. And they played it, and the crowd, you could see like half the crowd was into it, and the other half the crowd was like, we already know what happened.
Yeah, they knew.
I guess before smartphones, though, it would have been really cute.
Meanwhile,
Meanwhile,
Rick Tocchet called Janet, and Janet called Wayne, and before he could drop the puck, he had to know what happened.
Speaking of Rick Tocchet for coach. Rick Tocchet for coach. We know the big news is, they hired Jim Rutherford. I'm sorry, but the Penguins hired Jim Rutherford as their new GM. So
are you happy with that?
Well, I am, and I'll get to it. But, the whole thing, I was getting made fun of everywhere because the rumor was it could have been Pierre Maguire.
That would have made my whole year if Pierre would have been the GM.
You would be visiting me at a penitentiary.
You don't like Pierre?
No.
Yeah, me either, man.
There's something really douchey about him.
If you ever want to enjoy a hockey game, go watch a hockey game where Pierre is interviewing.
Yeah.
And the minute he steps in, the first thing out of Joe's mouth is, fuck Pierre.
Yeah.
First thing out of his mouth. He's like, get out. Oh, I hate that guy.
I haven't heard anybody agree with me on that. But every time he talks, I get a little bit of the thing on the back of my neck. Like, just shut up,
dude.
You know,
it was funny because like, I was listening to – or I always just have the volume down. Or I had the volume down with him when it was the last Kings games. He wasn't there. So for about 2 weeks, I wasn't yelling at the screen. All of a sudden, game one, I'm back to like
– because he was doing the East Coast, right?
And my wife was like, well, I haven't heard that in a couple of weeks. I hate Maguire. I despise Maguire. But long story short, but Jim Rutherford, the old Canes GM, been there like 30 years, let Captain Ron take over. He stepped aside. he moved in, and at first I'm like, hey, you know, I don't know, kind of a retread guy and whatever, but I mean, just better than Pierre. Then I heard his press conference, and he gets it. He understands. Gino and Sid got like three more prime years, and that's it. We're going for it. Yeah. We're getting – he called out the – he basically said the fourth line sucked. You've heard me say it for
– You've said it all year.
Weeks. Yeah. He said everything I wanted to hear. Now, if he trades Letang, I'm going to throw a parade for him.
Yeah.
You want to get rid of
Letang. I like Letang, man.
I thought he was a scrapper, man.
He can skate. He can
He's not worth for $7.5 million, I want someone who plays a little defense.
Yeah. All right.
He's the most exciting defenseman in hockey because there's always a 2-on-1 the other way. Yeah.
I thought he looked pretty good.
I think he's Paul Coffey light.
Yeah. He's Doughty minus 40 pounds in the brain.
Yeah, Doughty.
Doughty.
You ain't going to get no better than
Doughty.
Doughty made me jump out of my seat on that move the other night. That was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Have you ever seen a guy that's like, what is he? It's like they talked about it the other night. They were talking about a guy coming into the NHL that young. And like, you know, Sutter was saying, it's starting out. He wasn't, you know, he was kind of getting his legs, whatever it is. And now to step up and play like – like he can't. Like Sutter is very subtle. Like he's not going to say like, "Wow, this guy's really good."
Right. Yeah.
But you know, you can tell the way he talks about him that he really wants to go, "Wow, this guy is really good."
Well, and there's a leadership thing going on there too.
Yeah, he's got a leadership. That's what they were talking about. Was that he really showed up as a leader? Yeah.
And say this is like you know, 4 years ago, I was watching him play, and I'm like, "This guy's great. I love this kid." Right. And that's when they had Muzzin and some of those young guys. I'm like, this guy's great. And Voinov, I'm like trying to decide, you know, the three young guys came up, you know, like all around the same time. And I'm like, this guy, but that Doughty guy, man, that guy's great. And then the same way I love Letang, because Letang did that whole thing where he came up for like 10 games and they had to send him back to juniors. I'm like, that Letang guy's great. And then cut to 6 years later, you see how Doughty just matured into a guy. Yeah, he'll make a mistake here and there, but the upside is 95%. Where you see a guy like Letang, where he hasn't really matured mentally.
Mm. Well,
in any facet that Doughty did.
You hit on it about his defense. You know, the thing is, I think we all kind of enjoy those defensive guys who can get offensive. That's what I meant about Paul Coffey. Yeah. I always thought he was the best at that.
Yeah.
Of course, Bobby Orr, too. At being able to take it
and
go on offense for a minute. Mm-hmm. And those guys are great at it. But what's great about Doughty is he knows the balance. He knows when to get back.
You watch him come in. And you'll watch him coming across coming across center ice, and then he kind of does this look around to see where everything is and see where he's going and see where his little if he's got an opening. And if he's got that opening, you'll see this extra gear that he throws in, goes across the blue line, and he's aggressive at it. He's not going in to dump the puck in. He's going in because there's a play, he's got something
he
set up.
He sees an opening and
he sees an opening and he's got a great move where he's got that spin. Feeds it to the center, and it's you watch him like that, like you were talking about, Joe, that mental thing that he's got.
And he's great on the power play.
He's amazing.
Which Letang isn't.
If
you're making 7.5, you can't be on the second team power play. Matt Niskanen can't beat you out on the power play.
Well, here's the thing, too. A lot of those guys, those offensive, defensive guys, get stuck down too low, and they can't get back. And so they're forgetting their defensive responsibilities. And that happens to Letang, I think. He gets stuck down low, then there's nobody back. There's one guy back.
Right.
But Doughty's always back. Scott Niedermeyer, but he's tougher.
Well, see, Doughty
does.
That's
a great call. And Niedermeyer, I was at the ceremonies this year, the Fame ceremonies. And it was like, it was Shanahan, Shelly Host, Niedermeyer, and a chick in like some in the 20s.
My buddy Harvey Moran.
I don't know. Shanny's job with his player safety and whatever crap he's doing, like his, that's totally different. He's my number one power forward. My love interest. I have a man crush on power forward.
Yeah, he's great.
And then Shelly. Uh-huh. It's like Shelly. And then it's in there, and it's like, Niedermeyer, his resume is better than anybody's.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, he won everything.
Because he could dance around, like you said. Yeah. He could come in and do what Paul Coffey did.
But he knew when to get back.
And he always was back.
Yeah. He's just a smooth skater. And he's kind of that same size, though, as Dowdy, the leverage, where he could hit right through you. He didn't have to go for the bat. The
oh,
big,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
His position could hit you really well. Like the way Kunitz does.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be that tall to hit someone perfectly.
No, it's all timing.
Mm-hmm. Did we talk about this, though, about the... Well, I know we talked about this outside, though, about maybe the people saying the Kings could play more physical. Did we talk about this on?
That's what I was saying. I just felt like they could hit him like Green hits people like he means it. And
you're saying it, yeah? Because I loved he put in Pierre's face too. Because Pierre kind of said, "Oh, should you know, are you guys hitting enough?" And he said, it perfectly. He goes, "Well, we don't want to get out of our game and chase people."
Yeah,
and that's. The Penguins do that, like, oh, we're in fire, and then they start chasing people. You can't chase good teams.
Yeah,
you can chase the Florida Panthers if you just score to settle.
Well, and what
you
happened?
You can't chase Derek Stepan, you know, and you know,
that was good.
Cicarella.
Yeah. You start chasing St. Louis and Brad
they'll make
Richards.
You pay.
Yeah, St. Louis especially. Well,
he's an awesome player, man.
St. Louis, Pouliot. I mean, these guys. I mean, it's amazing, like you say that, because it is true. You watched because LA has the size. LA has the size. Yeah,
that's
like,
what Luke was saying.
You know, and it's like, and it's amazing to me. Like, I think that was the big edge against Chicago was the size, because when they would started getting tight, LA would really, you know, they would really check the hell out of them, and that would kind of started flinching. Fumbling the puck a bit. And but New York has such great control.
Yeah.
And they just kind of, like, you watch them, they avoid
that hit. Yeah.
They avoid that hit. But the good thing, the Kings, they aren't chasing them. They're not chasing them down.
Well, chasing you brings you out of position, too.
But they've been so great on breaking plays, breaking it up, like anticipating that pass.
I've never seen a team coached as well as the Kings are.
Sutter's a good coach.
I'm not trying to just keep blowing the Kings, but their penalty kill.
No, keep blowing the Kings. keep blowing the Kings.
They're always
right
there.
He's got the
hat. Their penalty kill, and they're tracking back. The way they track back. Everybody,
they all get back.
And when Kopitar and Carter do it, that makes the Foley think, I'm going to do it. That makes Jared Stahl do it. That makes all the other
when
guys
your stars
do
are hustling, you're right.
And the other thing, too, is you know New York is an amazing team, because you look at the faceoffs, the way the faceoffs went, you know, against Chicago. I mean, I think we were 70% on faceoffs against Chicago, and it's 50-50.
It's
50-50. And I think they even had the edge in game two with faceoffs. It's a different thing. I mean, you know, obviously Kopitar and Carter handle the puck better than anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're amazing, and you feel very confident. But what stepped up is some of these other guys, Mitchell and
Clifford,
Gabrick, and all these other guys, Pearson, these guys, Muzzles, when they have the puck, you know, they're doing – I mean – Martinez. I mean, some of these guys. It's amazing.
Justin, well, you know, Justin Williams had 3 assists.
He
had a beautiful assist on that Stoll goal.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you're seeing something. I don't think that that's that thing of hockey. That's like you're watching these guys that are really
the will to win,
and the anticipation of the other team, which you've got. I mean, that's you're on ice skates.
Okay. Well, they're both well coached teams. That New York coach is good too.
And the tip of the hat, Elaine Vigneault.
He's
great.
A good coach.
He left that cesspool in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Because we have the great Ian Bagel come. he hated that GM up there.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and he really went, you know, and it's nice that he bounced on his feet, went to New York. They had the trouble beginning of the year. They were on the road the whole time and kind of got screwed.
Got off to
but
a weird start.
But he got them back together, and, you know, and he's got him playing great.
Well, it's the funnest series. And I will tell you, one of the funniest things was in the game the other night, I texted you this. There was this couple, because there were some Ranger fans there. There were a lot of fans.
A lot of New Yorkers out here.
A lot of New Yorkers. Because the word on the street is
people were flying in, right?
It's cheaper to fly to L.A., buy 2 airline tickets, fly to L.A., get a hotel room, and scalp tickets. It's cheaper to do that than it is to go to buy two tickets to the Madison Square Garden.
That's interesting. Isn't that wild?
That expensive.
That's my theory of I'd rather drive to Phoenix than drive to Anaheim.
Yeah. But there were so many Ranger fans there, and there was this one couple that were there that was hysterical because every time the Kings would score a goal, they would show this couple on the screen. Yeah. And she was, and this one, you kept saying, her mouth, because you obviously can't hear, she would just be like, "You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me." You know, 4-2, they score 4-3, and it's like, you know, and it's just a little disgust for her husband. And then, the crowd really goes wild when they see the couple. Yeah. And then the best part is you see when they tie it up 4-4, her face is just, your mouth's just so perfectly, "You have got to be kidding me." And the crowd went even wilder when they showed that. It was amazing. Wow.
It's great to see Al Michaels on the big screen.
Yeah.
That's the best. You know Al Michaels?
He's a season ticket holder, right?
Right. Yeah. Did you know that he...
You mean the announcer guy?
Yeah. I mean, I know you know him, but
I met him, yeah.
Yeah. Has he ever been on your show and stuff like that?
I've never had Al Michaels on my show, but I've met him. Okay. And he's a cool guy. He's knowledgeable.
You got to go out to Bel Air, play around, and hook up with Al. He's there every day.
Is he out there?
That's all he does. He plays golf at Bel Air.
Does he really?
Yeah. The greatest hockey call ever.
Well, you know what? It was.
Miracle
on
Ice.
It really was.
Yeah.
But this, I was at, I do my show now on Sunday night.
Yeah.
That's right.
At KLOS. That's the best. The captain.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. But the thing that got me was I left the show. It was the Chicago Game 7, and, it's tied up. We're going into OT, and I thought, where am I going to watch it? There's no monitor in this. They don't want a monitor in the studio because you would be watching that the whole time.
Yeah.
And the place is closed down. I thought no one was there. So I'm in an empty hallway, and I got to find somewhere quick. I didn't think I could get to a bar in time to see the end of the game. So I'm walking, and all of a sudden they score. So people came out of offices that I didn't even know were there.
They were all watching.
Sunday night, and they all came running, and they're running down the hallway, high-fiving and screaming, and that's L.A.
Yeah.
To see that in L.A. just makes you feel great because it means, wow, they're into it.
Yeah.
I was over at Sebastian's house. We watched because Sebastian's from Chicago. And Sebastian had me and Mike Young and Favorman over for the games.
That's
a crew. We watched all the games together, and then Game 7, we're over there, and we all have 7:30. There's a 7:30 show at the Improv, and we all have spots. Me, Mike Young, and Favorman have spots. And we are texting Jay Davis, who's hosting. We're going, "Put us up late. Yeah. We're not going to make the first part of the thing." So as soon as they scored and as soon as it went, Sebastian's there with his dad and everybody, and everybody turns to each other and go, "Off to the Improv," and everybody tracked down to the Improv, and it was like the bar was empty because the Kings game 7.
Yeah,
and we fill up like we had like 7. Sebastian's wife and some other people came down that were at Sebastian's house. We fill up the bar. Mike Young's on stage when they score. I scream so loud, Mike Young goes, "I could hear it. I knew who won the game."
Yeah.
It was amazing.
He was on stage and he heard it.
That's what's funny about our jobs.
That's cool,
we have the greatest jobs in the world, but sometimes.
They're right at the game time.
Hockey interferes. I mean, when the Penguins won in 2009, I was backstage at Speckles Arena, and the Queen Lampanelli actually held the show up because she's like, "I know you can't go on stage."
That's what we like about the Queen.
Yeah. Not knowing
that's
who
so cool.
She's like, how much time's left? I'm like 58 seconds. And she's like, "Just wait a couple minutes." Yeah, it was just like, I was like,
yeah, that makes me love her even more.
That's so cool.
She's like, you can't even think.
You know Don Friesen, the comic?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a fanatic Giants fan. He knows as much about the Giants as you do about hockey. And he's on stage during the World Series. I'm up there with him, and he's got his iPad at the foot of the stage watching the game while he's performing. That's how committed he was.
That's dedicated.
I have a horrible Giants story. Wow. I mean, this is baseball. Then we'll get back to hockey. For people like, baseball. I'm performing at the Punchline the Saturday night when they blew game 6 to the Angels.
Yeah.
I left like 2 hours early thinking there's going to be a riot. They're going to close down the tunnel, the Broadway tunnel. I'm going to get there. We're up 5-0. That's when Willie Mays famously opened the champagne and the dugout, pissed off the Angels. I walk into the park, go upstairs, get in the Punchline. It was like a funeral. I'm like, "What happened?" They're like, "It's 6-5, we're losing." I'm like,
"Whoa. Oh, no."
That's why they play the game.
Yeah. All right, back to hockey. Sorry. Baseball. Oh, I'm sorry.
I have one other quick little story like that.
This will be a great one.
Well, I was – I don't know, man, but I was – now I'm under pressure.
No. It's always the –
But I was working with – can I mention the guy's name? Should I mention?
Yes.
He's a comic who bets on everything.
Bill Burr.
Okay, every sport, everything. So we're playing the improv in Tahoe. I'm the middle act. And he would come over and he'd work his way over to the stage with his bit. He'd walk across the stage doing his bits. He'd work his way over to the wings. And I was in charge of having all the scores.
Who is this guy? Who is this
Bruce
guy?
Fine. Oh. Bruce had money on everything. And he'd go, what happened in the Bruins game? You know, he's always betting on Boston. And I'd tell him the score, and then he'd go right back into his routine.
You were talking about taping or having to watch the game. When I played hockey, they'd have the games on in the corner, but I'd be recording it. So I put earplugs in and not go into the corners because I'd hear the score of the game that I was recording. And once in a while, I could pull it off where nobody tipped it off, and you know, I could watch it in peace afterward.
That's pretty neat.
It's tough, man. It's tough. It's, you know what? It's like I think 5 years ago, you could have taped every Kings game and never heard a word about it.
Yeah.
Walking through a mall.
Yeah.
You know, but now I think it's gotten to the point where, you know, and I don't want to say bandwagon as much as I think that the Lakers suck so bad that I think, and the Clippers have pissed off everybody under the sun.
Well, who
cares?
That's a good point. The Lakers doing poorly really did help, but I think also the quality of these games, the exciting,
100%,
such an exciting series against Chicago that non-hockey fans even got into it.
Yeah, that was the best series. That might have been the best series ever.
Yeah.
Well, I have three words for you, and that's go Kings go.
And then they won the cup, and you know this town. It's like they had to win the cup. Like now it's a sport. Like you know what I mean? Like since they won it a couple years ago, it's like, yeah, see, we can have a cup. So it's like it was almost like before we had the cup, it didn't count. Now that we have the cup, now we can try for it again.
Well, I think
they're aware of it now.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's not any different than if you're a Florida, you know, if you're a Panther fan. It's like they suck. They really do. And the Kings finally kind of, I mean, they've had some great teams, but they've, you know, they've gotten close. But I think now it's like we've kind of built, we've got these players where it's not, we don't just have Gretzky. Hmm. You know, we don't just have Robitaille. We don't just, we've got a real team.
They're all good.
And we got a great coach, and we've got all these things that are together now. And it's like, and we can sustain winning seasons, you know, back to back.
Yeah,
to back
they could
to
have
back.
A little dynasty going.
Yeah, to contend. And I think that's what makes it, that's what builds your fan base. I don't think.
And kids playing, I mean, our saint, our patron saint, Darren, our big boss.
Yeah.
His kids play.
They play.
You know, when the kids play, like, you know, when your kids are playing a sport, even you're into it.
When the parking lot's filled at Pickwick.
It's
100%.
It's built up, you know. Now these kids are going to be fans forever.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, that's how it just. You know, Gretzky planted the flag, and it's just been growing and growing.
Did you see Jim Miller at the parade when they won the cup, where he was almost in tears? Because I've waited 30 years. I've been watching this team. I want him to have that again.
They had a great sign that the Kings mascot was holding up, and it said, "We've waited, I think it was 45 years, whatever," and it was X'd out, and then it says 2. We've waited.
That's such a great sign.
It's like they just redid the sign from 2 years ago.
And L.A. fans don't like to wait too long.
That
I mean,
2 years.
2 years, you know.
That's enough.
Do you want me? I mean, most marriages don't last that long.
Not this time
in L.A.
Sure. Well, are we? One more. What are we saying? And then we'll bring in another very special guest.
Another of our favorite guests.
It's a packed house. Jason, what do you call on the call?
What do I have?
Yeah, I
think it's going to go 5.
Okay,
and you'll get to see that.
I'm hoping that I get to go down there and get some champagne sprayed in my face.
There you go.
In the locker room, I'm hoping it's game 5. I think it's going to be 5. I do not think they will sweep
I don't either. I think it's 5-5. Now, should I bring in our special?
Well, I don't know if I have any real insight, but I'm saying 6.
Well, all right.
Just because I like to see Rangers get a couple.
Yeah.
Just to make it
more hockey.
I'm with you. I don't want to have to wait till October to see somebody skate again.
And I like the way the Rangers are playing. I don't know if they can win a couple games or not, but I just like how hard they're skating.
And trying.
Yeah, yeah, they really
are. They've
also
got the will to win. But you know what? We're talking about the Belmont Stakes. I think what the Kings are doing is way more impressive and exciting. This team had no business. 26 in scoring during the regular season. Number one in the playoffs.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. All grit. It's all character.
Yeah.
It really, they really are like... their backs against the wall. I love a team when their backs are against the wall.
Yeah.
They win.
Yeah.
And their backs are against the
down
wall.
Down 3-0 to 7.
That's unbelievable, that's really.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now I'll bring in another very special guest. My daughter.
Yeah.
Isabella. Yeah. Her second Kings fan number two. Or, you know, her mistress team. But she loves the Kings. She wants to sing the national anthem there one day.
That'd be cool.
The next Pia, what's your pick, Boo? Are the Kings how many more? The Kings have to win two more. She knows the deal. How many more games are the Kings going to win? Speak up.
The Kings might have to win like two more games.
Well, they do have to win two. So you're saying Kings in five, six, or seven? We're confusing her. That's okay.
Kings in four.
Who's your favorite? Who you think's been the Kings' best player this round?
I don't know still.
Okay. You like Quick?
What?
The goalie.
She was almost taking up. Okay. We'll let you go. Sorry, Boo.
She likes the Penguins anyway. Yeah. That's her real team.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, she's
you guys
a Penguin
are from Pittsburgh.
Fan.
Yeah, we're from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Kings are the second team for her.
You know, to be completely honest, I thought that the Ducks were the team to beat this year. And then when they played the Kings, I'm like, these guys, they're like Roberto Duran. They just will not go down.
Yeah.
You cannot
show a lot of character.
Yeah.
The Ducks are tough, but you always remember they got Barbecue Bruce.
Yep. That's who's to blame.
Do you think if Quick played for the Ducks that the whole thing might have played out a lot differently?
I'd like to see him put all the people that Joe doesn't like on one team.
Oh, you hate the
and
Ducks?
Have Barbecue Bruce coach him.
No, I don't. No, I like the – I love Getzlaff.
And Pierre could be the GM.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I like everything but the Flyers. You know, I just love hockey. But I love Getzlaff and Perry.
Getzlaff.
I just picked like I saw it. I just think the Kings – 1 through 6 defensemen is what separates the men from the boys against all these teams.
Absolutely.
Like they're 6 defensemen, and then Quick, you know, like in the end, like, you know, that's, you know,
it's like good pitching beats good hitting. It's the same thing with the Ducks. Defense beats the.
It's always D. Mm-hmm. They say that in every sport, really, and it's never fun to. Lean on defense because it's not the fun part of the game.
Right.
The fun part's the offense.
Yeah,
but usually D is what gets it done.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the Kings have good defense and they got a great goalie.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, boys.
Well. All right, well, we got to wrap it.
Yep. You want to say how much
Court's you love, got a date with Pia.
You want to say how much you love Kopitar? No.
Kopitar's my favorite. You like Kopitar? He is he's unsung. He does everything so quietly, but he's just the best.
Man, he's good, isn't he? Yeah.
Now you want to talk about Kopitar? Talk about Quick.
There's Sean wrapping it up.
Oh, there's our great producer.
Yeah, man. Well, guys, it's a wonderful show. We want to thank you, everybody.
Amazing show.
Jason, thank you so much.
Jason,
Court,
great.
Thank you so much.
Come back anytime, please.
We
love
it.
Court McCowan, always
you guys.
A pleasure.
Our
first official press ever.
Man.
Welcome. This is from the Armed Forces Radio Network. We want to thank you all for being here.
He's our roving reporter.
The Armed Forces Radio Network.
That sounded
Jason,
official.
Jason, any plugs before... Any plugs?
I've got a podcast called The Labor of Love Podcast about comedy and road gigs and all the shit we go through.
Very nice.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. And you can check it out?
On the Sideshow Network.
Great. Oh, here. Oh, great. Yeah, yeah, great.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got one called Insensitivity Training with that man sitting right there, Joe Bartnick.
Oh.
And just today, we had Rob Riggle.
Oh my gosh.
We got Riggle on talking about 9/11. We got him talking about Dumb and Dumber 2 and 22 Jump Street coming out.
Great
and,
guest.
You know, and just go to my website, courtmccowan.com.
Cool, man. Yeah, that's a great guest. Joe, great show.
Yeah, awesome. I'll be at the Stress Factory this weekend, the All-In Tour, with, you know, Burr's All-In Tour. It's me, Lawhead, and Verzi. Thanks for it'll be fun. And then Father's Day, Helium in Philly. All the Flyer fans, come on out.
Yeah. Represent Flyer fans.
Represent.
Look out.
The great, the captain.
Guys, I'm at the Comedy Store tonight with The Late Show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then Friday night at Laugh Factory.
And then on the...
And then Sunday nights, KLOS, 4 to
the
8.
The legendary.
There you go. 95.5. KLOS. Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Isabella. Thanks for coming, Isabella.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Where are you going
to
be tomorrow? Okay.
We love her, though.
We love her, though.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.